They got a chance to win this with a field goal.
Give me time.
Wait, there's a timeout. They're going to ice the kicker. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
The snap is good. Threads are up.
It's time to ice the kicker.
Boom!
We're in week four. Charlie Hawkins, myself, Tom Deacon, welcome you back to another podcast right here of Ice the Kicker. Charlie, week three is done and dusted. It's, as many people say, it's in the bag. Would you say it was a happy bag this week?
It's a sad bag.
Oh, okay. Why is this a sad bag?
I'm going to start us off on a negative note already because we have to do this. We have to bring you all the negatives and the positives. And it's from a selfish point. Okay. It's week three. It goes too quickly. We're already 3 weeks in.
I wondered where you were going to go with that, but I totally agree with you. It is flying past us this NFL season. But it's been good, though. If you like touchdowns, there's loads of them last week and some surprising results, I'd say, from a couple of the games. And it has to be said that week three was definitely, Charlie, the week of the backup quarterbacks coming in and making their mark on the NFL. And a lot of them did very well. He's got a new nickname, hasn't he, at the Giants?
He certainly has, Mr. Danny Dimes.
How good of a performance would you say it was from him? Because I have to admit that I was expecting, and on the old accumulator, I put the Bucks to win that game. How wrong was I? It was a close game, but he really did shine, didn't he?
Well, it was a very close game. And for all what Daniel Jones, how good the performance was, let's not forget it was the Bucks were a field goal away from winning that game. It could have been also different, but you know, in his first career start, he threw for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interception, although there was nearly one. And not only that, it was the Giants' biggest comeback win in 49 years. So just a few records there for Daniel Jones in his first start, or as he is now affectionately known as Danny Dimes. But the career is bright. The passing of the torch for the MYG has been, it's been coming, hasn't it? It's been for a while. We know what Eli Manning is. It just hasn't happened for him for the last few years. And Father Time catches up to us all. It certainly, you know, it's caught up to you, Tom. And it happens. It happens to the best of us. And, you know, the new generation, the younger guard, are ready to take over.
Listen, Charlie, there's a couple of grey hairs. They're very faint. They're wispy. You could almost say that they were blonde. So I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. But thank you for highlighting that to our lovely listeners. The New York Giants could have gone 0-3 if they didn't win that game. But Danny Dimes keeps them in with a chance. The only thing with that game is, and you're quite right to put it out there, that, you know, 2 thrown touchdowns. He ran for 2 touchdowns to Danny Dimes. But they do lose their most potent weapon. That's Mr. Saquon Barkley. He's going to be out. It seems to be the recurring injury, the high ankle sprain. They're going to definitely miss him, though, aren't they?
Well, they are going to miss him because, you know, just as maybe you thought that the Giants could be turning things around, you know, the start of Daniel Jones, this is the future, someone that's a mobile quarterback, because you need to be in this league now. We're seeing the success of loads of quarterbacks. They need to be able to run themselves, rush themselves. They've certainly got the options there. This is an exciting time for the Giants in a division that, apart from the Cowboys, isn't really performing too great. And that defense, although it's not been fantastic, statistically, week by week, it's been getting better. But when you lose an elite piece like Saquon, you know, it's a blow. We know what he does. I think he averages something ridiculous per carry, 6-7 yards per carry. But maybe it could have the reverse effect that, you know, because so much of the offense now is being spread out because it does go through him. It might help them. We don't know. They've got a, I don't want to say easy task and disrespect the Redskins on the weekend because it is a divisional game. But you would like them to get through this with or without Saquon, although the Redskins do have a good defensive front.
Yeah, they do indeed. We saw that the Redskins, although they lost the game going 0-3, but they were a lot closer. I'm just looking at which game that was off the top of my head, which I can't quite remember. But they did get to the quarterback a fair few times and get a few sacks. What I did want to mention, though, Charlie, is the fact that obviously they made such a big deal of Danny Dimes and the Giants fans sort of angry, disappointed that they picked him in the draft, and he went in the 6th spot of the draft. And then now suddenly he's their savior. It's quite a funny turnaround. And obviously we go back to when it was last year. The Giants could have got Sam Darnold in a draft. They could have got their Eli Manning replacement all lined up, but they didn't. They went for the blue chip player that we've often talked about in Saquon Barkley. But it seems to be a kind of going full circle now that Danny Dimes is their savior.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting one from a few angles, isn't it? Because we've all done it. It's not just Giants fans. It's certainly not the Giants. You know, we're quick to criticize. I've been in the past and of loads of teams. We're watching the draft and we go, no, really? You really needed this position or you needed that person? Like, why have you reached for that quarterback or why have you reached for this player? But this is more one of the most ones in memory that I can remember looking at it, where everyone hated this pick. Not just fans, pundits, journalists, everyone in the media. I couldn't believe it. The Giants were showing the draft on the night in the stadium because obviously they had those three round draft picks and the whole stadium booed. I mean, this is before the man, he hadn't even put on the shiny new Eric Cap yet, you know. Yeah. They were booing
him. Give him a chance.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown a snap. He hasn't played a series. He hasn't, you know, we haven't seen what he can do. And it's not just the fans, you know, including myself in this. We're all guilty of, we've watched a bit of college tape. We thought there was someone else. We're writing him off already. And really, it's a good lesson. And not just for myself, but we're so quick to do it. We haven't even seen him yet. And we're like, oh, why did they do it? And now look, the stick that Gettleman got. I mean, I was getting texts. I saw Twitter people saying, NYG dead and buried. Don't know what they're doing. Fired Gettleman. He lost it at Carolina. Now he's doing this. And now I'm literally seeing, and there is a few people holding their hands up going, oh, well, yeah, Daniel Jones, yeah, really good. But I'm seeing people all the shirts and it's like, oh, now all of a sudden he's the saviour. But the flip side to that narrative is that the first side, obviously, one, we shouldn't do it in any draft. We should wait to see what happens, you know, see how they work in the NFL and that system. But secondly, you're seeing it over at Cleveland at the minute. Then you get too high on someone and then people now doing the reverse going, oh, Baker, he's lost it. He's absolutely lost it. Yeah, he's not as good. We overrated him. And I'm like, what? And I don't want them to do this with Daniel Jones because let's not forget, and I hope he certainly is because I'm really excited to watch the Giants, but it has been one game and now he's being called Danny Dimes and he's being called the saviour. And we can enter into that trap a little too quickly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on this one, Charlie. We can get too excited, but we get excited because we absolutely love our NFL. It's go back to like RG3 and how everyone was like, oh, he's the Redskin saviour. Didn't turn out that way. We get too hyped too quickly. But it has to be said, I mean, no one could understand the Giants' moves in the offseason. And OBJ, you're quite right to bring it up over at the Browns. You know, he's talking of father time. He's just got time on his hands, quite literally, with that watch he keeps flashing. But the Browns coming under a bit of criticism already from good old Rex Ryan. Did you see that one, Charlie? He was basically saying that Baker Mayfield was overrated, which is a complete turnaround from what we said about Baker Mayfield last season.
Yeah, and I think that is a little bit strong. He's clearly got the talent. We saw it last year, and maybe the hype was just too much. Maybe he's, I don't want to say overrated because then you automatically assume that we're calling him poor or bad, but I think he's very good, but it may be overrated in the sense that people were saying elite. But again, I still think he has the potential to do so. And for all the brand's moves this year, and you know yourself, let's give you props, Tom, because it's very rare that you get something right.
What? What is happening on this podcast?
you said to me that the Browns were not going to make the playoffs. And I was like, what? And you sure, you know, that they're doing a lot of good this year? You know, they've got some great players. One area they didn't do, and we spoke about it so heavily on this show, you have to have an offensive line to block you. And looking at the which quarterbacks are pressured the most, obviously, Deshaun Watson's right up there for the Texans. But just beneath that is Baker Mayfield. And I don't care what quarterback you are, you know, whether you're Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, or you're Ryan Tannehill. If you're not being protected, you can't do anything. And Baker, at the minute, that O-line in front of him, you mentioned OBJ, isn't getting a chance to get the ball out to OBJ. Yes, Baker's, you know, he might be making some mistakes and he's not lit it up like he did last year. But, you know, what can he do with that O-line? I'm not putting it all on the O-line's door. There's a little bit of Baker and a little bit of the O-line, but we certainly aren't seeing the Baker of last year, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. So props to me on that. But hey, listen, Charlie, I will say this. I will say this. It's only three games in, but hopefully they start winning again, those Browns, and it is going to be a tough little match for them. The AFC North divisional game, Browns at the Ravens. Browns are 1-2, Ravens are 2-1. They come off the back of that loss to the Chiefs, which I have to say was a delight to watch. Watching Lamar Jackson, Ingram, the old Saints player, running through. I don't know if you caught it, Charlie, but when he got into the end zone, he slipped up after throwing the football and then just punched the KC logo, which I just thought was, you know, he's up for this game. I quite like to see that in a game now and again.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed this one. It was the main game on Sky One, and it was flicking between that and Red Zone. And I'm doing it. I'm being a hypocrite. We get carried away, but you know, potentially we could be seeing the future of the NFL for a good foreseeable future. You know, you've got two quarterbacks in Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, both in the AFC, who, if Lamar can reach those levels and he can sustain what he's done so far, and we know with Patrick Mahomes, then these two are going to be facing each other a lot more. And it was a good matchup. Casey was slightly running away with it at the start, and I thought, ooh, Baltimore's defense, come on, and Lamar, let's get back into it. It was a lot closer at the end, but Casey at the minute as well. If they were good last year, you know, this year they've learned their lesson, haven't they? And they're going to make a run for it again.
Indeed. And as you always say, next man up. Tyreek Hill's gone, but Robinson doing his job. Everyone seems to be just... And they're losing running backs as well. Shady McCoy stepping up, doing what he has to. That's the sign of a good winning team. Charlie, we've got way ahead of ourselves because there was loads to chat about. We haven't done the news. We have not done the news.
The ice, the kicker news report just in.
Yeah, let's go with it. I'm just hearing reports, Charlie, that a man will be turning up to join his teammates today, and that is, of course, the one and only MG Melvin Gordon will be returning to the Chargers. That is come at a perfect time for the Chargers to give them a boost, because they're a team that are 1-2, lost the last two games. Melvin Gordon, we know how good he is as a running back, was in a bit of a holdout. But now he says he's going to join up with his teammates again.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because he was holding out, wasn't he? He wanted a new contract, then he wanted to be traded, and he wasn't signing the contract that they offered. And for all intents and purposes, I thought this was going to be another Le'Veon Bell situation. He was going to sit out this year. I didn't expect him to come back, but only from his own words, he said he's happy to sit a year out. He doesn't want to risk injury. Doesn't want to risk his body. Doesn't want to risk injury. And if he's not going to get that money, then he's not coming back. But obviously, maybe, I don't want to say it is about the money, but he's going to miss around, is it $1 million so far from the games he has missed and the fines he'll get from not making training? Obviously, he didn't want to miss any more and he wants to get paid for the rest. So maybe he did care because he hasn't got that new deal. He hasn't been traded. So why else would he end his holdout? I don't want to be cynical, but I mean, it's got to be for that reason and that reason only. I really like Melvin Gordon. I don't know what this signals for their backfield, because Eckler's been okay, but I'm sure Melvin Gordon will go right back into the starting lineup. Fantastic news for fantasy owners.
Yes.
Who've got Melvin Gordon. But yeah, this is, I'm a strange one. He ended it, but you know, what a time for the Chargers. He's going to be fresh. They're going to be happy with this.
Yeah. I mean, you say, Why now, I guess, and it probably is money. Maybe it is because no other franchise came in for him and said, hey, we're willing to pay a lot of money for a running back, when we've seen it in the NFL this year. It is kind of next man up for the running back, especially at the Niners. All of our undrafted free agent running backs seem to be doing the job. It seems to be your value goes down unless you can do a proper Le'Veon Bell at the Jets. Melvin Gordon thought, do you know what? I may as well play. And yes, fantasy owners will be very excited about that. Do you think it's the boost that the Chargers will need? Because they haven't really been performing. They're losing to the Texans 27-20 last week. It isn't the Chargers we expected.
Yeah, well, you know, Eckler only rushed for 36 yards. Maybe it's a timely boost for the Chargers. Maybe there's been a few conversations. It's a funny one with the Chargers. I really enjoy watching the Chargers, but when you're not expecting much, they go on this run. And when you're like, oh, the Chargers, yeah, you know, they'll pick up that winning Texans, you know. They're good on offense. The Texans, they can't protect Deshaun Watson. Then Houston get the win. So it's a very strange one. They've got the Dolphins this week. Obviously, we're not expecting much from the Dolphins. Sorry, Dolphins. But the Chargers should get the win there. I think any time you can add back in an elite playmaker, or maybe that's too strong, but a player of Gordon's talent and standard, you're only ever going to be happy. You should be fresh. So it's a good thing from the Chargers, but I don't know. They're just there just seems something not right at the minute. They're not clicking. As always with the Chargers, they get a few injuries. They're always there or thereabouts. They can never just get over the hump, can they? They can't ever get over that line.
No, and obviously taking the Chiefs to the wire in that division, and then just not quite getting over the line. We expect them to be as strong as they were last year, maybe even better in some cases with Phillip Rivers. But they're that team that I've heard it many a time, and we've seen it. Who's their backup? What happens if Phillip Rivers, you know, the man who's done much in the quarterback position, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't doubt for a second, but he just hasn't. You know, what do the Chargers do as a team? We've seen so many teams in week three have to go, right, you're the backup quarterback. What can you do? The Chargers haven't seemed to have got ready for that. Do you know what I mean, Charlie?
Yeah, well, they obviously sense he can play on a lot longer. You could argue that who's Brady's backup, really? They haven't prepared for when he retires. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just hoping with Rivers, they play him long enough and then one of these 500 kids can just take over the reins. Because they've had great leadership from Rivers. They can learn from him. You know, you're in the same quarterback room as him. Who better to learn from than Rivers every day? So maybe young Rivers will be in.
Yeah, maybe young Rivers. They obviously have Tyrod Taylor as their backup, but it obviously started off at the Ravens and then heading over to the Bills and then the Browns. So he's just sort of backup quarterback. But it's one of those teams or the whole era or ethos of an NFL team is how do we plan for the future? And they're going to find it out. I read the other day, Charlie, when you mentioned the Dolphins, that'll be the Chargers' next game. They took it to the Cowboys for the first half. It has to be said, Josh Rosen and Fitzpatrick. But there's talk that they're going to take a quarterback in the draft. That's what they'll intend to do. So poor old Rosen, I know you're a big fan of him, might not even be the quarterback of the future for the Dolphins.
Well, I mean, you're just doing this. You're just trying to get me started. You're just trying to press my buttons. But, well, the talk from the fans and the pundits is, of course, Miami. You know, that they could potentially have two top five picks. You know, they're at an 0-3 record. They're looking at a first pick, even though I can't believe we're talking about the draft and picks already. We're only three games in. But they've also got the Steelers' first round pick. Another team who are 0-3. They could potentially have two top five picks. Maybe it would make sense, even if they didn't need a quarterback, to take one and what value they could get there and anything to make that roster better. But if they can work it out with Rosen, let's not forget, not a good O-line. In this system, if he can prove something, if he can do something, then they can use those 2-5 picks at two other, you know, elite positions, you know, a pass rusher, anyone, a defensive back, anyone to just take that squad from where it is now, which is, it's in a rot, it's in the doldrums. It needs so much work because, let's be honest, people are seeing this game as a buy. You know, it's a semi-W already. You can say that, oh, Miami put up a fight, but it was going one way and one way only. I mean, it was 31-6. Could we see another 0-16 season? Again, you'd hate to say it for Dolphins fans. We talk about them all the time. They listen to the show, but we have to be honest. They're very much looking like an 0-16 season now. Where could they get that first win?
I don't know. But I know that when they have their bye week, they definitely won't lose. And I think that's...
Oh, you said that joke before.
Yeah, I do. Because it's true. I haven't got an answer for you, Charlie. I honestly thought the Dolphins were looking okay, respectable against the Cowboys. I expected the Cowboys to light it up more than they did. But there was one
really?
Point...
31-6? I mean, they don't have to light it up. I mean, Elliott went for over 125 yards. I mean, that's not bad. That Prescott nearly threw for 250. I mean, you know, Amari Cooper just under 100. I mean, what? It's a professional win. It's 31-6. 31 points at home. He's still a new, young offensive play caller in Kellen Moore. You know, it's all about the W's. Will they care? No.
No. I agree with that. However, all I'm trying to say is that I looked so down upon the Dolphins. I think, as you said, when you come up against a fixture against the Dolphins at the moment, you think, well, it's going to be whoever isn't the Dolphins are going to get that win. But there were moments where the Dolphins weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. And obviously,
no, you're completely right.
There was a point where Josh Rosen was almost towards the goal line and they went for 3 points rather than going for it. And Rosen looked destroyed. He's like, come on, let me lift this team. And there were moments where they had that. The interesting thing that I thought was quite nice, the former first-round pick, Taco Charlton, for the Dolphins, well, he was the first one picked for the Cowboys, was going up against his former team and got a sack, which I quite like. You know, people being given a second chance sometimes, but I don't know about those Dolphins, Charlie. I mean,
it's actually a really interesting point you made. It's a good talking point because I always find it strange when a team, I know they've got to be professional, take the 3 points, stay in the game, but that was such a key moment, Nat. And what message does this send for your team? You've got a new quarterback in trying to prove himself. You're trying to prove that your team, you know, aren't giving up on the season, you know, really trying to stay in games. Why not go for that touchdown? Because, all right, yeah, you're going to get 3 points with a field goal. But, you know, Dallas, look at the points they're going to score. Go for the touchdown. You don't think that with the way you're playing, you're going to keep him out. What did that say? Like, let him have that attempt. And maybe that already shines. No sign of faith in Josh Rosen and this team. But what does that say as a coach? I hate those moves. I'm always for the aggressive move there. And sometimes I don't even believe it's aggressive. And it's a really interesting point you make there. And I want to know what you think of it. And two, we talk about Dallas, and you said you wanted to see a little bit more. This is true. They're a 3-0 team, and you can only beat what's in front of you. But if you look at the three teams they've faced, you'd expect them to get three wins. They haven't really faced a team yet. That happens on this weekend when they play the Saints.
Yeah, I do like the Cowboys. I think what happened, Charlie, is I thought, you know what? I'm going to be quite clever here. I'm going to put in Randall Cobb into my fantasy.
I know that's trouble for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not always having trouble with the fantasy.
You can't even speak.
but I'm just thinking, I thought I'd put Randall Cobb in. Every time Dak Prescott had that ball, I'm like, throw it to Randall Cobb, throw it to Randall Cobb. He got in the end zone, got a touchdown. Ah, that was a penalty flag. I was livid in the lounge. And that is something I often say, livid in the lounge. But you're right, the Cowboys do have a proper test with the Saints. And looking at the Saints, as we're talking about them, that win that they got last week, the Saints against the Seahawks, that just shows that Teddy Bridgewater, the replacement quarterback coming up, he got the ball going and got that whole team fired up. Alvin Kamara, as you know, fantasy-wise, had a fantastic showing. So the return of Alvin Kamara, looking back to what we'd expect of him and the rest of the Saints team.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit, hold my hands up. I expected Seattle to win this one, you know. Seattle being at home, very tough to beat there. But fair play to the Saints coming in with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm really happy for him. I saw a really nice video. He was getting a little bit choked up and emotional in the locker room afterwards, saying, you know, obviously it's nice to win wins and losses, but when you've gone through what he has, just the fact that he's out there playing, you know, pinched himself. And without getting too deep and being cringy or making it emotional, you know, it's bigger than football, isn't it? That's what it's about. You know, what he's gone through, you know, that horrible, horrific leg break. Now he's playing and getting to do what he loves. It's cliche, but you do love to see it.
You do love to see it. Charlie, it just came to my mind. Was that the game Walsh, the kicker for the Vikings, missed the field goal and the Seahawks beat Teddy Bridgewater's Vikings? That is that game, isn't it? A few seasons back. And that's kind of one for Teddy Bridgewater to sort of, you know, put it to bed, like, we lost to the Seahawks, but kind of redemption. Different team, but for personal reasons, each player can get quite emotional for whatever reason, and that a good enough reason for him. Interesting enough, though, the quarterback, Charlie, little quiz question, and for everybody else.
Oh, I love it. Quiz, we ain't done a quiz in ages.
I know. So listen up, guys. Here it is. Most passed yards this week goes to which quarterback?
I know this, which is annoying for you, but it is the big Jameis Winston down at Tampa.
It is close, Charlie. It is.
Oh,
close.
No!
No, he did get 380 yards. He did get 380 yards. However.
I know it now. I was teasing.
Do you?
Oh, can I get a second guess?
Yeah, go on, have a second guess.
It was Russell Wilson, wasn't it?
It was. And then we've just spoken about the Seahawks, so I thought you might have been right up on that.
But I hate myself.
No, don't. No, never on this podcast. We've never got hate on this podcast. Just good vibes. 406 yards for the good old Russell Wilson. 2 touchdowns and 2 running touchdowns plus 51 yards. I mean, he's an absolute freak of nature, that man. I mean, we'll talk about Danny Dimes. R. Wilson, 406 yards, 2 thrown touchdowns, 2 running touchdowns. Not enough, though, to beat those Saints. But it just shows how good of a player Russell Wilson is, and he'll need to continue playing like that for the Seahawks to have any chance of getting into those playoffs in that NFC West. And they've got a big game against the Cardinals, the first divisional game, that one, NFC West. What do you make of the Seahawks? They're supposed to be throwing that, running the football a lot more, but if Russell Wilson's throwing two touchdowns, Tyler Lockett, they're a sort of mixed bag as a team.
They are a mixed bag, and you know, I expected the Seahawks to win that one. I said that, but I still think they come good. They always seem to peak towards the later end of the season, and I still believe. And that division is just, it's one of the better divisions out there. You know, we've got the 49ers 3-0, the Rams, you know, and that, and the Seahawks. It's a tough division there. So I'm excited to see. And although the Cardinals aren't in that chase, they've been in games. You know, Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, like, looks rejuvenated playing alongside Kyler Murray. So it's not the easiest division, and I'm excited to see how that one plays out, really.
Yeah. What would you lean towards? Because I know that I'd probably say I'd lean towards the Seahawks in that one. And you're quite right. The Cardinals have been close. They've been there or thereabouts in games, just haven't been able to get it across the line. They do have one tied game under their belt this season. But you'd say the Seahawks, they're looking strong. They just came up against a stronger team in the Saints.
Well, are they a stronger team now that Drew Brees down in other areas? I think they're equally as strong. I know what the Saints bring. I mean, people might go, really? The Saints ain't stronger than Seahawks, but the Seahawks, you know, they're there. If you look at their key pieces, and the Saints are there, and there's had some few injuries, this is a real pick-em game, you know. It's tough. I think two teams, obviously, they've got playoff hopes, could meet each other in the playoffs. You don't know.
Indeed. Just going to let all our listeners know, and to Charlie as well, I am live streaming this whole podcast from the locker room, kind of in homage to Tariq Cohen. Charlie, what did you make of that? Tariq Cohen live streaming in the locker room after the Bears got that win. Just to let everybody know, I'm not streaming this. We're in two different parts of the world right now.
Club dub, that's what they call it, don't they? When they get a win in Chicago, they turn it into a club after. And I'm not sure that if this was, say, somewhere, maybe in New England, Bill Belichick would have been for the streaming afterwards. But we live in a modern world, 2019, fans want access. Go Cohen.
Yeah, go Cohen. What do you reckon for our podcast, live streaming it one time?
Yeah, only if we can get Tariq on. But yeah, I think we should live stream it, definitely.
All right, Bears getting that 31.
I've got a question for you.
Ooh, hello.
Don't think you're the only one who brings questions to the party at Ice the Kicker.
Yep.
We were talking about passing yards, and when I was so confident in my Jameis Winston, out of all the quarterbacks, obviously Mahomes is leading the way with yards at the minute, 1,195 yards. But who is second?
In terms of passing yardage?
Yeah, yeah.
Whew, that is a question that has tickled me there.
It's not the most obvious, maybe.
Well, I would have thought Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, but then again, he's been running a lot. He hasn't necessarily been passing it. I don't know. I'm going to go for something like the Falcons? Is it going to be Matt Ryan?
He's close. He's fifth, but no, it's Andy Dalton of the Bengals at 979.
Wowzers. Interesting.
New man Zach Taylor, you know, he's throwing that rock.
He is indeed. They just couldn't get the run game going. I'm glad you brought up the Bengals because they've got a big game next week. But before we get to that, the Bengals have really struggled in terms of turnovers this year. 8 turnovers in total. They're tied for the most in the league. And as a team, it's great that Andy Dalton's throwing that football, but as a defensive side of things, they're the third worst team for passing yards. So if you want to throw the ball, Bengals are your team to throw it against. So I've been surprised by the Bengals. They've been poor, to say the least. It's great that they're throwing the football, but poor overall.
I don't know if they've been poor overall. They've been poor in certain areas of the game. That is correct. But they, you know, they nearly got the win against Buffalo, depending on what way you look at the game. That Seahawks game, you know, they've been unlucky with their results. It just feels like maybe I'm sugarcoating it up and I'm polishing a rock, but they're not far off, maybe. They're not far off under Zac Taylor. And what a time to be in that division. It's not going great for the Browns. It certainly isn't going well for the Steelers. The Ravens, they're leading the way in that division. But it's sort of a semi-toss-up between second and third at the minute. And this is a new dawn at Cincinnati. So why not Zac Taylor getting a few pieces? We know of the injuries they've had. John Ross seems to be coming alive. Maybe that's another one. We talk about draft prospects earlier and we never know. It just shows you have to make someone get the best out of you in a certain system. Zac Taylor may be the man to do that with John Ross.
I'm being harsh on those Bengals. I think they have been poor. I think every Bengals fan. Yes, Charlie?
It's a Cincinnati song.
Oh, okay. Sorry, mate. I just feel like the Bengals have been poor, and I think every Bengals fan will say they have been poor. But you're quite right. Maybe the turn is beginning to happen, that they did have a better second half against those Buffalo Bills. So you never know. Maybe they could get off to a win in their AFC North rival game. They're taking on the Steelers. But yeah, poor so far. Okay, if we're firing back quiz questions, Charlie, which team in the NFL has zero sacks?
Ooh.
Zero sacks for this team in the NFL.
The Cardinals.
Oh, see, now this is why it's interesting as a question, because it is not the Cardinals, Charlie. It is a team that possess several pass rush elite guys and yet still don't have a sack.
Go on, hit me.
It's them Denver Broncos, Charlie. Zero sacks. With the likes of Derek Wolf, Von Miller, they do not have a sack. Yep, it's all there, my friend, and zero turnovers.
Working out for Vic Fangio.
Yeah, Vic Fangio, the defensive-minded guy. Zero turnovers, Charlie. As a defensive side, zero sacks, zero turnovers as well. They really have struggled as a team. And they're 0-3 as a team. Bit of a surprise, I suppose it is for me personally. I look at them and go, I wasn't expecting lights out Joe Flacco being the quarterback, but I was expecting it to be better than it has been.
I don't know, because they're a team that are in complete transition. They've not got that quarterback position right. Elway, just for what he was as a quarterback, just can't seem to find someone there. They went for Flacco. We know we've got Drew Lock, but he's on injury reserve. He may be one for the future, but there's a lot to be done there. They're another team that's going to take them, a couple of drafts, a couple of free agencies to get back in the mix. They're way off at the minute. They had that Super Bowl, and then the team's, in rebuild mode, a new cycle for them. So I wasn't expecting much this year. Again, it's the first year of Vic Fangio. Teams are always better in the second year of the system. It's going to take a little while. Well, not only that, they're in a tough division with the Chargers, with the Chiefs. So it's certainly not their time at the minute. And I don't think there was too a high expectation on them this year. You obviously expect more from a stats point of view, but it's going to be a tough season for Denver, that's for sure.
All right, tough season in Denver. However, a tougher season than it was expected to be is for the Philly Eagles. They lost at home to those Detroit Lions. Patricia came into town.
Yeah, is that? Can we do boom or bust? Because that makes me feel good.
Yeah. All right. Boom or bust, Charlie. From last week, you were very confident in your prediction. You said the Panthers would lose. That was incorrect. They actually won over the Cardinals. But your other bust or boom, I think it was a boom, Lions to upset the Eagles. Those are your words.
Thank you.
And congratulations to you, Charlie, on that. I can't remember what I put, but I'm sure I got two out of two. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll look at your stats in a minute. But can I just say, I feel like everyone was backing the Eagles. No one gives those Detroit Lions. Put some respect on their name. They're getting better. They've got a good defensive front, and every team in the NFC North won this weekend. We're talking about divisions. And there's no biasness here. That is the toughest division at the minute, The Lions unbeaten, Green Bay unbeaten, 3-0. We know what the Vikings bring. We know what the Bears win. Every team from that division won on the weekend. I mean, if people are talking up the Eagles, well, the Lions went into Philadelphia. This wasn't a home win. This was a road win. This is a big win for the Detroit Lions, They're not they're not no pushovers, and the NFC North, watch out.
Yeah, and I think I forget the player who did it. It was a 100-yard return, 99-yard return from a kickoff. Beautiful scenes, touchdown. Thank you very much. Eagles crying. But they've also lost a bit of their offense weapons. But did you see Aguilar, the man who basically called out Nelson Aguilar after saving people from a burning building, the press turn up in America.
The best video I've seen in a long, long time. This is very typical of the people of Philadelphia. In an interview with the news, the man is talking about saving babies. He's still got time to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and make a dig at Nelson Aguilar. I mean, if this isn't just peak TV watching, then I don't know what is, because this is absolute genius. He mentions it and he goes, yeah, we was catching those babies, unlike Nelson Aguilar. And I was like, and he even pulls a face. He turns to the camera. It's absolutely genius. I can't get enough of him. But class act to Nelson Aguilar. He tweeted the guy saying, you're doing tremendous work in the community. You and your family should come down to a game. Didn't rise to the bait. A real classy gesture for Nelson there, and fair play to him.
Yeah, indeed. So hopefully the Eagles start rolling again. But oh, wait a minute. They're Thursday night football. That is tonight. The Eagles away at the Green Bay Packers. Charlie, just quick thoughts on that one. It's got to be a Green Bay win in the fact that they're looking very strong and the Eagles are struggling at the moment.
Yeah, you would think so, but it's always got to turn at some point. A bit of a, I don't want to say trap game, like Philadelphia are worse than we think. They're still a team that only a couple of seasons ago won a Super Bowl. Majority of that roster still there. Wentz can be dangerous at times. They're not that strong in the secondary. Hopefully, Rodgers can exploit that with the pass tonight. Finally, get a few of those receivers off the mark. But I'm a bit worried. Apparently, Green Bay are missing Za'Darius Smith, who's just been absolutely lights out this season on defense. It's really been a defense for Green Bay. It's always worrying. Thursday night football, Eagles and Packers have rich history. You just never know. You'd like to think so, but Green Bay could go 4-0. You just don't know, though, do you? You know, Eagles aren't. They're not a Dolphins rolling into town. That's for sure. They're going to be there or thereabouts. It's a tough game tonight, but it is at Lambeau. You'd have to say Green Bay, but it's going to be close. I say Green Bay by 3.
Ooh, okay. Green Bay by 3. Love it. Listen, Charlie. Several other games we could talk about. Obviously, we mentioned it earlier on, the Giants game. I've just put a note down here. Tampa Bay Bucks, 1-3 at the moment. The Bruce Arians revolution is beginning to show signs that it's coming back. Mike Evans, who hadn't done a lot so far in the season. Jameis Winston connecting with him for 3 touchdowns during that game. But what I like to see about those Tampa Bay Bucks, Shaquille Barrett, 8 sacks in 3 games. That's not bad. When you want a bit of defense, 8 sacks in 3 games. That's the most sacks of any player in the NFL at the moment, Shaquille Barrett. So Tampa Bay Bucks have got reasons to be excited about things, I would have assumed.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it could have been so different. They could have got that win against New York on the weekend, 32-31. They make that field goal. They're a team that's always had the kicking problems, haven't they? You know, taking Robert Aguayo in the second round. So, could have been very different, you know. I'm excited for things under Arians. You know, Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator, working on offense. Jameis Winston, like we said, did nearly throw for 400 yards, which is incredible. Mike Evans absolutely went off 3 touchdowns, 190 yards. I mean, yeah, they could be clicking, but again, in another very difficult division.
I did say 1-3, the Bucks, and the reason I said that is because I've already predicted that they will lose against the Rams. Whoa. At the Rams. That is coming up week 4. Would you say anything different to that result?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should do our boom and bust, because I think we skated over it somewhat. But if you know, we're 3 weeks in, we've done 6 predictions. Tom has, I think it's, 0 out of 6. So he's working at a very good ratio for his predictions. I'm at 2 at 6, which isn't much better, I have to admit. But still, I have got 2 correct. And I'm working at 33% ratio, which is 33% and more than you, brother.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I like it when you always give me the maths on that. I did make a bust prediction last week. I said the Vikings would lose to the Raiders. I also said that Jimmy G at the 49ers, no interceptions, but the 49ers would get a win. So I'm not even going to give myself half a point for that. Jimmy G, it wasn't a game for them. I was sickened by what I was seeing. I think there were 5 turnovers in that whole game for the Niners, but they still got that win against the Steelers. All right then, Charlie. We know what happened last week. We move into this week. What are your boom or bust?
My boom is that Devontae Adams gets 2 touchdowns tonight against the Eagles. People say, is that a boom? Well, he hasn't got 1 touchdown all season with 3 games in. He's going to get 2 tonight. So 9 in 3 games, and he doubles it up. 2 tonight against that Eagles secondary. My bust, and wait for it, it is the New England Patriots. They lose to Buffalo this weekend.
I was just letting that sink in for a second. Really? That's a very confident, bold bust there for why'd you say that?
Well, and I just think, you know, both 3-0, maybe it flatters one of those teams, but they're both 3-0, and why not? And I haven't looked into this, I haven't done the maths, and I should have, but I think the New England Patriots have an absolutely incredible record at Buffalo. Am I getting that right? Someone will tweet us either way, but I feel like they've won the last 6, 7, 8 or something ridiculous at Buffalo. Buffalo can't seem to beat the Patriots at home, and it changes this weekend.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I like it. I've heard that, you know, is this Buffalo Bills team for real? Yeah, looking at the all-time series, the Patriots, 73 wins to the 43 for the Bills, and only 1 tie. I can't look that quickly into the record at the Buffalo Bills. But a great bust there from you, Charlie. Well, listen, you mentioned it earlier. You said the Giants would get that win against the Redskins. Well, I reckon the Redskins are going to beat the New York Giants on the road this weekend. That is week 4 prediction. That's my boom. Actually, that's my bust. Basically, I'm going to say that the Giants are losing that game. And my boom, after their incredible heroics last week, the Jags are going to sack Flacco 5 times at least in their matchup. And that is,
I like that. That's a good one.
The Jags taking on the Broncos. And obviously from last week, they had 9 sacks as a team against them Titans. And they were looking pretty phenomenal. We haven't mentioned him yet. Minshew Gardner, 0 interceptions. He's doing a very solid job at the Jags.
Doing a very solid job at the Jags, yeah. I mean, more than solid. He's got like the highest passer rating. Everyone's enjoying his dress sense. Everyone's enjoying his moustache. They give the big money to Foles in the summer. But then it's this guy they drafted in the 6th round, proving that, hey, he can do it just as much. And they seem to be working the ball, and it's working for the Jags. They're getting DJ Chark into the game, DD Westbrook. You know, don't write those Jags off. It's exciting times. This is the season of those backup quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. They're all coming through. It's exciting. Kyle Allen at the Panthers. Daniel Jones is now taken over from Eli Manning. I'm absolutely loving it.
And I love that Kyle Allen, which is quite interesting hearing about it, that Cam Newton's on pretty much his last year before starts talking about contracts again. And that's interesting, because if he can't stay healthy, they're going to have to start rethinking everything at the Panthers. But Kyle Allen doing a very solid job.
Yeah, doing a very solid job. Gets the start this week. They don't want to rush Cam back. That's what they've done last time. Clearly the injury is still lingering over from last season. And if you're not fit, why put a man back in? And if they can perform with Kyle Allen and get those W's, then it makes sense. But really, we're so quick to judge, aren't we? It's already the ramblings on, you know, the rumblings that maybe that Cam would need a fresh start. He doesn't have a future at the Panthers. Are they going to give him a new deal? He's got like in the last 46 games, is it 23-23 record? It's not great. They're not, people say, oh, you can't win with Pam. Well, Cam, they're not winning with him at the minute. So they're winning without him. Lot of questions. People are always quick to look to that new dawn. Maybe there is some change on the horizon at Carolina.
Yeah, change indeed. There's 2 other facts before we sort of start to wrap things up for this week. In week 3, Charlie, it was definitely a game or a matchup of 2 halves, because the first half of games that came through tended to be, and I've got the stat in front of me, all home victories. Then, and it's almost the reverse in the second half of games. You've got like the Lions winning on the road, the Panthers winning on the road, the Giants. The only team to break that little trend was the San Francisco 49ers, the only second half of games team that won at home. Just something I noticed, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean,
you can take that.
Yeah, take it.
Just file it somewhere. All right. File it somewhere, mate.
The 3-0 Niners must be the most flattering record in the league, would you say?
I would disagree with that, Charlie. I would disagree with that. I think
I don't think you would, because if I would have told you the Niners going to be 3-0 at the start of the season, you weren't expecting a season of this. You was expecting the season of much of the same, weren't you, again?
I can't go back in time, Charlie, to say how I feel about those Niners. I wouldn't say it was flattering them on the way they've been performing so far. But if you would look at it and say the Steelers are coming to town and Big Ben's going to be there and they're rolling as I'd have expected them to, then yes, I would have been expecting the Niners to be 2-1. But to get that win against your new backup, Mr. Mason, the quarterback for the Steelers. He didn't look scared. He just looked okay. They just couldn't get things going. The 49ers moving on. But with five turnovers, that's the Niners I kind of expected. But, you know, getting the W and get a week off this week, as do the Jets, who, you know, comparing the Niners and the Jets, that those are two different teams at other ends of the spectrum at the moment, I'd say. Charlie, I was going to ask you about them Steelers. They're taking on the Bengals. That's going to be our Monday night football game. What do you make of this? Because the Steelers, little fact for you, 16 home game run on a Monday night football, all wins that dates back to 1992. But that offense seems to be coming to a halt. What do you make for that game?
No, I think the Steelers will get the win here. Although, I don't know, these games are always so tight. It's a divisional game. You know, who would have thought Cincinnati? They're both 0-3, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, both 0-3. Would you have said this at the start of the season? That's why we love the NFL. You can never predict where the records are. People might moan it's not the greatest Monday night football, but it is. Both teams are going to want to play. We're going to want to see something for them. What's going to give is Zach Taylor's new side, Mason Rudolph at the helm for the Steelers. The Steelers have this great run on Monday Night Football. I absolutely cannot wait.
Yeah, and Zach Taylor having a bit of a tough time. He said, look, it's three games we can't get back, but it's just three games. You have to keep that momentum going. So, yeah, all the best for that game. Charlie, anything to close us out in this beautiful week four Ice the Kicker podcast?
No, just a few games I'm looking at for, you know, Oakland and Indianapolis. I think the Colts got a good win over the Falcons last week. You know, not much is being made of the other, no longer a backup, but Jacoby Brissett is starting for the Colts. Andrew Luck's retirement. He's looking good. Things are ticking there. Made some really good plays, as did Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had a great game. They just couldn't come down with that win. And Julio Jones, we need to do a pod just on the man himself, an absolute brilliant wide receiver. There's some really good matchups here. And we get to that first quarter, don't we, this week? And we didn't talk about it, but four games in, it's a 16-game season. We can really judge it then. It's going to start to shape up what teams have maybe turned around that slow start or they've really kicked on. And not the playoffs, but it all starts to take shape after this week. And we can really dive into those games. And some of those games that will be taking shape, you've got, like I said, Oakland, what do they want to do this year? They're playing that Colts. We've got Minnesota against Chicago. The NFC North teams are absolutely flying. This is a huge game there. You've got the Saints and the Cowboys. So we're really going to start to see another two. We just talked about the 0-3 Steelers and Bengals. Well, it's the 3-0 Bills and New England Patriots. That's a big, big game this week.
It is indeed. And just below that on my list, the Chiefs heading down to Detroit town, they'll be hoping to become that 4-0 team. But those Lions, after getting a win against the Eagles on the road, should be feeling a little bit more confident about that. So actually, the Lions, if they'd have got across the line against the Cardinals, they would be a 3-0 team as well, looking to sort of go 4-0. So
yeah,
did we predict that? And I think my highlight of this podcast today, you saying, you know, put some respect on those Lions.
Put some respect on the Lions, yeah? The lion has not been tamed. The lion is roaring loudly and proudly.
Thank you very much. And that's good to know, a visual image. Listen, Charlie, thank you so much for this podcast this week. Always a pleasure to be working with my good friend, Charlie. And thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that we are on Twitter, Ice the Kicker Pod. Get involved with that. We haven't done a poll in a while, Charlie.
We need to. The polls are coming back. They're closing the pods. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. We're going to close the shows. We're going to get back to who are yous, and we're going to get onto the polls.
Beautiful. Listen, it's a thank you very much and a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from him.